Let's turn our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 1 through 11. Jeremiah 7, verse 1 through 11. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah, who enter by these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words, saying, This is a temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. But if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly practice justice between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, nor walk after other gods to your own ruin, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you're trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and offer sacrifices to Baal, and walk after other gods that you have not known? Then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, We are delivered, that you may do all these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your sight? Behold, I have seen it, declares the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence here with us, God. And we just ask that you would come and speak to us and meet with us. Thank you for bringing us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Jeremiah is a book that I'm reading through my personal readings. So whenever I get a chance to speak at EMP, I would be sharing from my devotions in Jeremiah. Jeremiah is appointed as a prophet to Judah. So in chapter 1, God calls Jeremiah and says, Jeremiah, I've known you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I knew you, and before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you to be a prophet to this nation. And Jeremiah at first is like, no way, God, I'm not old enough, I don't know enough. And God says, don't worry, I'll be with you. Then Jeremiah says, okay. And then he goes on prophesying, basically giving the word of the Lord to his nation, which is Judah, which has really been very, very disobedient. They have walked away from the Lord. They have followed the ways of their sister Israel, just walking away from God, really committing a lot of acts of injustice and not taking care of the poor, not taking care of the orphan, but really, kind of doing their own thing. And idolatry, adultery, all those things were what they were struggling with. So here, Jeremiah brings a rebuke to Judah, but he does it right in front of the temple. So he's standing at the temple gate, and he's rebuking the people that's coming into the temple. So if you can imagine this, right? This is like people are downstairs in the lobby area. People know they're coming up to SP, and they're rebuking the very people coming to SP and saying, you are sinners. You think you're going to church. You think you're doing okay, but you are really jacked up. And that's what's going on. If you've ever been to a Billy Graham or his son Franklin Graham's crusade, you know, big name evangelist, and huge crowds gather. I remember I did this in the States. I took our youth group kids to the crusade one time, and if you go, they have these picket fence holders really kind of protesting against Billy Graham and Franklin Graham and saying, these guys are the Antichrist. You know, I don't know why they're doing this, but and everyone that's coming in, they're like handing out flyers and saying, don't believe these guys, don't listen to these guys. These guys are, you know, sinners and whatever, whatever. That's kind of what's going on here. People are going into the temple. I mean, those guys were obviously wrong, but here Jeremiah is correct. But that's kind of the situation, right? People are going into the temple, and it sounds like from the text that they're excited about going into the temple. They have these words that they're saying, these phrases. Oh, this is a temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. And they say, we are delivered as they come into the temple. But as they're doing this, Jeremiah stands there and says, you guys have no idea. You guys think you're doing well, but in reality, you are living in sin and you... you're not delivered. You think this is a temple of the Lord and it's going to be safe for you, but you're wrong. Later on in this chapter, God will say to the people of Judah that he is willing to destroy this very temple. He says, if you don't change your ways, I'm just going to destroy this place. Right? So these people are thinking, oh, this is God's temple. I am safe in this place. But God says, no, if you keep living in sin, and if you keep doing things just the way you want to do it, not following my ways, committing acts of injustice and idolatry, then I'm willing to destroy this very temple. You're being delusional. If you continue in sin, you're going to come to an end. So that's what's happening in this text. And what I wanted to do for us is, there's a lot that could be said about this text, right? We could look at... verse 5 through 7, really talking about justice and how that's so important in God's heart. I mean, if you read through the prophets, oftentimes the rebuke that God brings to his people is not... I don't know what you would think it is, but usually it is injustice. The rebuke that he brings to them is, man, you're oppressing the poor, you're not taking care of your foreigners, and you're exploiting people that are in need. And attached to that is also idolatry. So these two things I find is usually the rebuke that God brings to them, injustice and idolatry. You know, so we could spend a bit of time talking about that, but today I just want to kind of talk about this whole idea of being delusional, thinking that we are doing well, but sometimes we really are not doing well. We have this hype, right? We come to church and there's activities, there's events, there's conferences, and there's worship, and there's people, so there's hype. This is the house of God. We're at church, and we can easily feel like we're safe and that we're doing well. But in reality, it could be that we are, like the people of Judah, really kind of not doing it right, but not just not realizing that we're in a place where we really need to repent and turn back to the Lord. So I have a silly story. Please bear with me. This is the only story I could think of. So I was in the States about a week ago, for 2 weeks. And so last Sunday, I went to my old church that I used to intern at. So these are my youth group kids. Now they are 24, 25. They're all working. And I got to visit their church, go to their English ministry, and I spent some time with them. And I think if you're the pastor and these kids used to be your disciples and you go back to see them, you feel pretty good about yourself. You know, you're like, yeah. And then the kids admire you. They're like, oh, we missed you. And then I'm telling them, you know, I'm getting married at the end of the year, and they're all excited for me. And I felt so good just being there, and these kids were kind of admiring me, you know. They're like, oh, you're here for school, you're studying, that's great, you know. And like they look up to me kind of thing. So I'm feeling really good. And I think, wow, like I'm the man. You know, just being at this church, seeing my old friend, old students. And then I'm about to leave the church, and I go, okay, I'm going to go by. And then I go to the bathroom just to, you know, do my thing before I go. And when I go to the bathroom, I look in the mirror, and I notice that I have this huge nose hair that is sticking out, and it's curling up against the wall of my nose. I know it's disgusting, but that's what happened. And then I realized, oh my gosh, this is how I looked the whole time I was talking to my kids. And I thought I was like the man being with these kids. But really, I must have looked ridiculous. And the kids didn't say anything, obviously. So I mean, here's the illustration. I thought I was being the man. I thought I was just really respectable, and the kids were admiring me. But maybe in reality, I looked ridiculous with this big nose hair sticking out and just looking stupid. So that's kind of what I want to say to us. And sometimes we come to church, and in our relationship with God, we might think that we're doing okay. You know, we might think that everything's going well, and I'm following God, or I'm going to church, and I have my friends at church, and you know, we have EMP every day, Sunday church, house church every week. There's conferences, there's retreats. With all these things going on, there is this sense of, like the people of Judah here, in verse 4, saying, this is a temple of the Lord, this is a temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. There is a sense of, yeah, I'm at church, I'm doing God's thing, I'm doing all these church activities, and I'm doing well. But the question is, are you doing well? You know, being busy with things of church doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing well in your relationship with God, you know? I mean, I think we're going to be busy if we're serving God, if we're living for God. But just because you're busy doing churchy things, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily walking with the Lord, intimate with Him, and that your heart is in the right place. And not only as individuals, but as a church, we must not presume as a church that we're doing well just because we're busy and because things are happening, activities are happening, events are happening, programs are happening. But where is the, how about our hearts, you know, as a church? Are we desperate before the Lord? Are we truly in love with God, or are we busy just doing stuff? And I know we have the retreat coming up as a church in a few weeks, and I really, we've been talking, you know, P. Eugene, P. Hunsu, myself, and we're sensing that, man, we got to really pray. I feel like our church, we're maybe just getting a little comfortable, you know? We're getting comfortable because stuff is always happening. There's always activities. There's always events. There's always programs that keep us busy. But are we really walking with the Lord? Are we really, you know, in tune with the heart of God and desperate for the things of God? You know, I don't know. And so my word for us today is that we must pause and we must go before the Lord and we must consider, how am I really doing? I know I'm busy. I know I'm doing a lot of church things and there's a lot of hype, but am I really doing well? Or would God say to us, like He did to the men of Judah, you think you're safe, but you're really not. You're really not living for me. So here in this text, right, the sin that the Israelites were committing was injustice and idolatry. And those are not the things that we might be falling into. But there's other examples, you know, in Revelations, the church of Ephesus. I mean, the rebuke for them was that they were doing everything well, but that their first love was lost, you know. And then the church of Laodicea, that they thought that they were doing well. They thought they could see and do everything well, but God says, but you are blind. You think you're rich, but you are wretched, and you are lukewarm. Right? So it's not necessarily injustice, idolatry. That's what God's rebuking here. But for us, it could be something else. You know, for us, it could be that we think we're doing well, but maybe we've lost our first love, or maybe we're actually really lukewarm. But we think we're doing well because we're so accustomed to just going to church and doing this thing. And there could be other things in our lives. So my encouragement for us, you know, how can we avoid this? And if you could turn to James chapter 2 with me. Or chapter 1, sorry. James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of a person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not by having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. The word says here, it compares scripture to a mirror, you know? And if you go back to my nose hair story, I mean, how did I come to reality about where I was and who I was? I looked at a mirror and I saw myself in reality of who I really was and what I was really like. So what we need to look at, we need to go to the scriptures and let the scriptures look intently at the law and say, man, how am I really doing? Examine ourselves according to scripture and let that kind of pinpoint to us. You know, this is where we're at. And then, I mean, this scripture says you gotta be doers of the word. So don't just stop there. If the word convicts you, then change and obey. The second thing is, if I had been at that church and I had a good friend with me, my good friend would have pointed it out and said, hey, dude, your nose hair is sticking out like crazy. You need to go fix it. What am I saying? In a church, you need to have good community. People that are willing to speak into you and say, you think you're doing well, but dude, you're really kind of walking away from God. You're really kind of missing it right now. And if I didn't have my accountability brothers, you know, here at church, willing to have that uncomfortable talk with me, you know, to sit me down and say, how are you really doing, you know? How are you really doing in these areas? Are you really obeying the Lord and doing... doing the right thing. And that's so helpful, you know? So one of it is that we read the scripture. Second thing is you need to have people in your life that's willing to look at you and say, and be willing to confront you and say, I don't think you're doing well. You think you're comfortable. You're coming to church doing all the things, but I don't think you're doing well. And willing to kind of... challenge you and speak into your life in that way. And of course, lastly, I mean, you need to just take some time to really examine your heart, go before the Lord, check your heart, and ask the Lord, you know, am I maintaining just this false sense of security or am I really doing well? And God might say you're doing well. I mean, so I'm not saying you're not doing well, but just that's not just presume. Let's not just presume because we're so used to coming to church and doing churchy activities that we're doing well. But let's really go before the Lord and humble ourselves and check with Him. And lastly, if there are things in your life, let's say you read the Word of God and God convicts you, or somebody confronts you and says, "This is in this area, you're actually not doing well. You're actually not living according to the Word of God," or you spend some time with the Lord and God brings conviction to you, just repent. Just repent. Don't be defensive with God or with your friends that's confronting you. Just repent. I think knowing the gospel, knowing that there is forgiveness, it frees us to be able to repent before the Lord. Because if there was no forgiveness, if the gospel wasn't true, and if it really depended upon how we lived our lives, whether we were accepted to God or not, then we feel like we have to come up with these excuses and say to God, God, no, but you think, I mean, you see, this and this was going on, that's why I couldn't do this, but see, so I'm not really in sin, I'm not really in trouble here, that other things happen, so it wasn't my fault. We come up with excuses because we feel like, man, we have to measure up somehow. We have to figure out a way somehow to be accepted before God, even though we've messed up. But if you know the gospel, and if you know that there is forgiveness for your sin, then it frees you from all of that, and you can just say, God, I'm sorry. I sinned. I truly sinned. It was my fault. There's no excuses. And I'm sorry. Help me turn away from it. Because then there is forgiveness for us, you know? So... yeah, just humble yourself and repent as God reveals that to you. So let's just go before the Lord. I don't know if we have a... oh, Mon, okay. Mon's going to come up and lead us in a time of worship. So let's go before the Lord, and I'll pray for us, and I'll ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for that word. And God, you know that sometimes it's easy for us to just presume and get really busy with activities and events and programs and hype. And we can't really hear, and we can't really we don't really know where we're at in actuality, in reality. So this morning, help us to just put a heart check, God, in us. And I thank you that it's your kindness that leads us to repentance, God. So Lord, in your kindness and in your gentleness, I pray that you would bring conviction to our hearts, God, if repentance is required. Yeah, so Holy Spirit, I open myself up, God, and we open up this time for you to just come and speak to us. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, God. We pray that you would be our everything, Lord, every single day as we live, as we just live our everyday lives, God, that we would walk with you and that you would be the center of everything, God. Continue to speak to us and lead us. Thank you. We love you, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to our group prayer focus. Let's pray for those going through cancer, chemo, and waiting for the transplant. Let's continue to pray. Let's pray fervently. Let's pray with faith. And let's pray with love for these people on the list. So let's pray. Let's pray for them. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those going through illness, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray in behalf of them. Let's stand in the gap for them and pray that they will be saved and that God will bring healing to their lives. Let's pray together. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for various infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing to come upon them. Let's pray together. Let's go to for the fourth slide. Let's pray for our friends looking for a job. Let's pray for God's breakthrough and God's favor and God's direction. Let's pray together. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for our local. Well, let's just pray for Hong Kong and the local ministries here. Let's pray for the churches here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for YWAM Hong Kong and their different ministries. And face to face with Jimmy and Feed the Hungry Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for God's favor and God's guidance over them and anointing over them. So let's pray for these ministries. Pray for our mission committee. Let's pray that they will be able to hear from God very clearly. They would have the heart of God, and let's pray for wisdom and guidance, and pray for their personal lives. Let's pray that they will be so blessed, that God's favor and love will be so powerfully upon them, that their personal lives will be so blessed and they will be filled with joy and peace. So let's pray for our mission committee. Let's pray for our local outreach team, Community Center, Igape, Homie Outreach, SP Lights, Prison Ministry. Pray for the team members and pray for the ministry itself, that it'll be very powerful. And pray for Pastor Sophia and Janella as they lead these ministries. And let's go before the Lord and let's really pray for our team. Let's stand in the gap for them and pray for protection and favor and anointing. So let's pray together. Let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government here. Let's pray for CY Leung and the leaders in this country or in this city. Let's pray something be done about the wealth gap, that justice, righteousness and justice will be done in this city that we live in. Let's pray and ask God, what can we do? What is it that we can do? How can we be involved? Let's pray for revival here. Pray for the churches. Let's pray that we would be a city on a hill. And that especially to China, that we would be a blessing to China and a light to China. And so let's pray together. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our Friday evening activities. Pray for the IP meeting and the college group. I don't know if there's a river today. I don't think the river is today. So just IP meeting tonight and college group tonight. And also, if you know them, if you know Mel and Eunice, they are playing at a concert, secular concert, but you know they've been invited to play. So let's pray for them that there will be a light in that place and that it'll be a great time. So let's pray for those three things. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers and for being with us. And we pray all these things, God. We know that you have heard our prayers, so we thank you. And we want to seal them up in the name of Jesus. And as the word said today, God, I pray that you would help us, God, to really check with you. To not presume that we are safe, God, but Lord, to check our hearts, God, and see if we are really truly being pleasing to you, God, if we're really truly intimate with you and in the right place where you want us to be. And I pray that you would speak to us, God, in your kindness and gentleness and convict us, Lord, and be with our church, Lord. I pray for our church, God, that we wouldn't be just about, you know, just about the hype and about the programs and being busy with church activity. But God, that we would be in the right place, Lord, that our lives will be obedient to you, God, that our hearts would be intimately connected to you, Lord. So I pray for your mercy over our church as well. Thank you for your love. I pray for your blessing over each person here. God, help us to walk with you through the rest of today, God, and to hear from you, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Bless you guys. Have a great day today.